From the campus of New Hope Christian College, welcome to Words of New Hope.
Moses had that dream, but that dream or that promise needed to die. But when you have the death of a dream, it's not time to bail out. It's not time to disqualify yourself. It's not time to get bitter or mad at God. What happened, God? You said something and now you're lying. That's it. I'm out of here. It's not time to go wild. No, it's a time to draw near to God. You draw near to God.
Welcome to Words of New Hope with Dr. Wayne Cordero, president of New Hope Christian College in Eugene, Oregon.
At one time or another, God has placed within each of our hearts a dream. But often, before that dream can come to pass, we have to be willing to let it go. Pastor Wayne calls it the death of a dream. But it's during that process that God is often doing his greatest work. Here is Pastor Wayne with a message entitled, Moses, an Appointment with God.
Well, let's take out our notes as we talk about an appointment with God. An appointment with God. Let's read the top of our notes together out of Acts chapter 3. Go. Therefore, repent and return so that your sins may be wiped away, in order that times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord, and that he may send Jesus, the Christ, appointed for you. Did you know that you have an appointment with Christ? Every single one of us. You'll have an appointment with God. Now, those appointments may come wrapped in joy or in pain, but you'll have an appointment with God. It'll come in victory, sometimes in defeat, but you'll have an appointment with God. Sometimes it'll come in health or in sickness, but there'll be times where you'll know you have an appointment with God. It might come in struggle, or it comes in healing, but you'll have an appointment with God. And usually these appointments with God come with no forewarning and no advance preparation. But when he speaks to you in the midst of these events, you can reject it, you can ignore his voice, you can circumvent his voice, or you can recognize his voice and heed it. And my goal today is to help you to recognize these appointments with God. Because when you do, it'll be a fresh new beginning for a new season that'll take you to higher levels of faith and a deeper level of understanding. So today, God's going to use the life of Moses. And why does God put these lives in the Bible for us? Why does he do that? Because God knows that as we understand how he worked in their lives, we will better understand how he works in our lives. He puts these lives there as a benchmark, as a reference point, so that we, as we see him work with them, we will begin to recognize how he works with us. You've got a reference point. Down at the tip of Argentina, there's a strait or a passageway that Magellan's explorers named Terra del Fuego, which means the land of fire. The reason is because as they went through the strait, on the shore were tons of campfires that the Indians were sitting around. But as they went through the straits with their huge galleons, the Indians paid no attention to these great ships. Later, they explained that because they didn't have any reference points, it was the first time they'd seen these, to them, these huge things were a mirage, maybe an imagination or an apparition. And they paid no attention to it because they were so different from what they had ever seen before. And they lacked the experience, they lacked the point of reference in their imagination to sort of like decode or interpret the evidence that was passing before their eyes. They just thought it was a mirage. And the same too, we need stories like about Moses and Abraham and Joseph as reference points, as a benchmark, so that we can compare our lives with them. And we sort of can then decode what is happening in our lives so that we won't miss the kingdom when God invites us to enter. Then we say, ah, I know how he's working because I saw how he did it in Moses' life, in Abraham's life, in David's life, in Joseph's life, and in my life. Ah, that's how God is working. And my goal today is to help you to recognize these appointments with God so that you don't miss it. Now, you take a look at the people of the Old Testament and New. They all had appointments with God. Abraham had an appointment with God. In a vision, God opened up the skies and said, Abraham, that's how many kids you're going to have. With Joseph, almost the same way, when God appears to Joseph in a dream and says, Joseph, you're going to be a great leader. And he has the stars bowing down and sheaves of wheat bowing down. He had an appointment with God. God gave him a promise. We see that in other people's lives. Paul on the road to Damascus, when he was blinded by light, had an appointment with God. But I think the most classic of all appointments with God is Moses, when God spoke to him through a burning bush in the Sinai desert. Now, let me rewind the tape, give you some context. Jacob, one of the patriarchs, Abraham, Isaac, then Jacob, had 12 sons. At this time, he had only 11, and one of them caught the envy of his brothers, so they sold him into slavery into Egypt. Joseph, through just some circumstances, finds himself in prison, but then through the providence of God, becomes one of the greatest leaders of all time, a pharaoh in Egypt. At that time, there was a famine in Israel, so the Israelites or the Hebrews came down to buy food. It was at that time that Joseph reveals himself to his brothers, and now Benjamin is born, the youngest. He brings them all down into Egypt, and they live in this area called Goshen. And they live there for years and years and generations until the Pharaoh dies, Joseph dies, and another Pharaoh rises up that despises Hebrews. And the Hebrews were gaining in population so much that this Pharaoh was afraid that maybe they would mutiny against the Egyptian regime and overthrow them. So he said to the midwives, when these Hebrew children are born, check. If it's a male, kill it. Just kill it immediately. Well, a mother gave birth to a boy, seeing that it was a child, boy child, for fear of the midwives coming and killing it. She takes him, hides him in a basket of reeds, and sends him out into the Nile River, hoping that someone along the side will, just by providence, feel compassion for that child and raise that child. At least give it a chance. And his sister would hide in the reeds to see, as he would be floating down the river, that maybe this might happen before he swept away. It just so happened that the Pharaoh's own daughter was down by the river. She saw this and heard some crying. She retrieves the seeds and recognizes that it's a Hebrew child, but yet has compassion, names him Moshe, which is taken from the water. Well, at that point, his sister, now that was watching, jumps up out of the reeds and says, you have a baby. And the Pharaoh's daughter says, yes, I just found him. You're going to need a nanny for that child to raise him. And the Pharaoh's daughter says, that's right, because I don't know how to raise this child. I know just the one. Well, she runs to Moses' mother and says, do I have a deal for you? You come and nanny the child. Well, here it is. She comes and she says, I'll nanny that child. That's Moses' own mother. Now, the Pharaoh's daughter doesn't know this. So she says, great, you nanny this child, raise him. Wonderful. Well, she then raises the child. Guess what? And she is now getting paid to raise Moses. Is that a good deal or what? Paid by the government to raise her kid. Now, that's the way our government should work. And not only that, Moses is educated on the government's tickets. And the government educates him according to the culture and the customs and the politics of Egypt, because they're grooming him to be a pharaoh. Now, Pharaoh knows, though, that Moses, as he's growing up, and there's something special about him, and he knows that he's a Hebrew. And for fear that maybe one day he might lead the Hebrews against the Egyptian regime in a mutiny, he kind of holds Moses at arm's length. But one day he saw an Egyptian now abusing one of the Hebrews. Moses had been given a promise long before that he would grow up to be a deliverer of the people. But when he saw the Egyptian abusing this Hebrew, he figured, now's the time for me to come out and be that deliverer. So he intervenes. He and the Egyptian get into a scuffle. He ends up killing the Egyptian and hiding the evidence. Word gets back to Pharaoh. Pharaoh's enraged. Uh-oh, this guy is starting. It's starting. Well, the next day, he sees two Hebrews scuffling. He walks and intervenes with them because that's his role, right? God said he was going to be a deliverer. And he says, hey, knock it off. And you know what they say? Hey, who are you to rule over us? Who do you think you are? Are you going to kill one of us like you killed the Egyptian? And then he understood something went wrong. Just then, Pharaoh sends a convoy of military soldiers to kill Moses, knowing that this guy's going to deliver the Hebrews. He's going to mutiny against us. And so he actually puts out a warrant, not only for his arrest, but for his death. Moses realizes that, escapes and flees. He is now Pharaoh turned fugitive. And he is running and hiding in the backside of the desert. How long? 6 months? No, 40 years. And he goes from Pharaoh to raising sheep, stinking sheep. That's a huge drop in pay, don't you think? He's on the backside of the desert, marries a Midianite woman, Zipporah, has some children, and he's there on the backside of the desert. You ever get there? You've ever been there where your dreams have been dashed and shattered, and what you thought was going to come to pass is not? Your promise is postponed. That which you hoped in a marriage ended. What you dreamed for your child is stillborn. And what you heard God promise to you in the beginning is no longer there. And your expectations are dashed. Let's read this next verse and see what happened to his expectations. And he supposed that his brethren understood that God was granting them deliverance through them, but they did not understand. You know, I bet we've all felt that. I bet Moses' mother felt that her dreams had been dashed for her son Moses. And we don't know whether she ever saw him again because he's on the backside of the desert for 40 years. Well, today I want to talk to you about three appointments with God that all of us are going to have and how to recognize these appointments so that we don't start to work against God, not for anger or not because we disbelieve him, but because we are ignorant of his ways. I want you to see God's ways with Moses, because often the way God will work with Moses, he will work with Abraham, he'll work with David. Often the way he works with these people in the Bible, he works with us in the same way. So here are the three promises, or here rather the appointments with God. Number one, in the beginning, God will, here's the first appointment, you will come to a point in your life where God will issue you a dream. Would you write that down? He'll give you a dream about your vocation, about your life, your future, marriage. You write down all these wonderful ideals. That's great. Take it, grab it. You know why? Because God is giving you a dream. Now, it's long before you're ready for it, he'll give you the dream. Why? Because God wants you to start painting your future with the same colors he's painting your future with. No, not with drab grays of depression and drab colors of discouragement and hopelessness. No, he wants you to paint your future with bright neon colors. That's why we find in Jeremiah 29:11, I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. They're not plans for your calamity, but for your welfare, in order that you might have a future and a hope. And God wants us to paint our futures with a preferred future, a wonderful picture of a preferred future. And that's why we find in Ephesians 3:20, it says, now to him who is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask, think, or even dream of, to him be glory in the church forever. See, God wants us to do that. Otherwise, you'll fall victim to everybody's mistakes. No, God plants that in your heart long before you ever arrive there. Why? I'll tell you why. God will put a dream in your heart because this, the dream that he puts in your heart in the beginning, would you write in that bullet? Dreams will point to your potential. The potential that God has for your life, his dream for your life, his desire. Now, it's going to be reshaped a little bit, but I tell you, he'll put that core in your heart. We find in Joel, that's repeated in the book of Acts, let's read this scripture under number one. I will pour forth of my spirit upon all mankind. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. Yeah, listen, moms, speak promise and dream to your children. Old men, grandpas, speak dreams to your children, your grandchildren. It's okay. Tell them to grab hold of it. Let them run with it for a while. It's all right. It shows them they have potential. They have hope. They have direction in their life. Now, God's going to edit it a bit, and he's going to change it a bit, but let them grab a hold of it. It's okay. In the Old Testament, they used to have the patriarchs come to the children, and they would actually lay hands and bless the children, prophesy over them, and speak a blessing of their future. And the kids would look forward to that. In the old Hawaiian times, they would have the kupuna actually give a name to the children that would have something in it of promise for them. And so they would name the children for promise, for hope, for something that would give them a meaning to life. Jewish mothers were great on that. They speak so well of their kids. You know, my child is this. And they always speak with just, you know, superlatives about their kids. There's a story of a Jewish mother had a set of twins. They're only like 3 months old. And she's walking to the grocery store and she's so proud of her kids. And someone says, "You have beautiful kids, Mrs. Goldstein." She says, "Yes, I do. Yes, I do. What are their names?" Now, 3 months old. She says, "Well, this is Jacob the senator and this is Joseph the brain surgeon." She speaks promise to them. And you need to get a hold of that and have a promise because God wants you to have that. It gives you hope. But I need to say one thing. Often, your dreams will be given to you long before you're ready and mature for it. Long before you're ready for it. Given far in advance because it gives you direction. It gives you potential. Joseph was given a dream of leadership when the stars would be bowing down to him and the sheaves of wheat bowed down. Was he ready for that position? Oh, no. In fact, in his impetuous immaturity, the very next day he boasts about it to his brothers, which causes a flurry of envy, and things go south and sour very quickly at that point. You'll see that he gave David a dream where Samuel anointed him as king. But did you know that it wasn't until about 20 to 21 chapters later that he actually takes the throne? In the meantime, he becomes a fugitive. He's running for his life. He's having all kinds of problems. He sees the death of his best friend, his whole family. Everything goes bad. You see, God will often give you a dream way in advance before you're ready for it. And then he brings it to pass. But if you're in the first stage, grab a hold of it. Grab a hold of it. Because often the second appointment with God will follow. And that is, would you write it number two? The death of a dream. The death of a dream. That's where some of you may find yourself in this stage today, where your plans are rerouted. What you thought would appear has vanished. Dream has been dashed, hopes are sidelined, and what you thought would turn out to be a happily ever after turns sour. The reason is often because God gives us a dream in the beginning and we try to bring that to pass on our own strength. And in our impetuous immaturity, what happens is God's dream is now tainted with flesh and carnality, our own perspective, our own desires, and a lot of self. And God has to take that and extract that out of it. That's where a lot of character will be built in the second appointment with God, the second stage, where many of you might find yourself in right now. That's what happened with Moses. After God gave him a wonderful dream, now he's spending 40 years on the backside of a desert. 40 years tending to stinking sheep. Pretty different from being a Pharaoh's son. Same thing happened with Joseph after God gave him a dream. He finds himself alone in prison, wondering whatever happened to that call. It happened with Abraham. Abraham, look at the stars. That's how many kids you're going to have. Oh, by the way, in a little bit, when he has one kid, God asks him to sacrifice Isaac. And Abraham's saying, what is going on? David was anointed king. And now he's running for his life alone in a cave. That's what happened with Moses, David, Abraham, Joseph, and it'll happen with you and me. So what do you do? What do you do when your dream dies? Oh, it might be because of my fault. Could be because of my undoing. But what do you do? Does that mean my dreams are gone now? What I hope for my kids, my marriage, gone. Gone. What do? I tell you, hang on. Because a lot of times this season that we're about to talk about will be the most important season of all. Most of us drop out in this season far too soon because we don't understand nor recognize the ways of God. Hang on. But it's not coming to pass. Let's read what the book says, Habakkuk, about God's plans. Let's read it. Go. But these things I plan won't happen right away. Slowly, steadily, surely, the time approaches when the vision will be fulfilled. If it seems slow, wait patiently, for it will surely take place. See, God gives you a dream, grab hold of it. But then there's lots to be done, because the second stage will be the death of a dream. And you'll say, oh, you got to die to it. Because God has to extract a lot of us out of it still. The dream will still come to pass. It won't come to pass in your timetable. Often it won't come to pass with the colors that you thought it would come out. It might come through a second door, a third door, a side door. It might come in a different shape. But God says, if you will stay with me, if you'll hang in there and not violate my principles, it'll come to pass. There's a lot of work to be done, though, he's going to say. Let's read what Ecclesiastes 5 says. Go. For the dream comes through much effort. Yeah, it comes through much effort. There's a lot to be done. Moses had that dream, but that dream or that promise needed to die. But when you have the death of a dream, it's not time to bail out. It's not time to disqualify yourself. It's not time to get bitter or mad at God. What happened, God? You said something and now you're lying. That's it. I'm out of here. It's not time to go wild. No, it's a time to draw near to God. You draw near to God. Let's read what happened when Moses did that. Let's read it. Go. The Lord appeared to him in a flame of fire in a bush. And when Moses saw it, he marveled at the sight. And as he drew near to observe, the voice of the Lord came to him. Would you underline that whole last line? As he drew near to observe, what was the result? The Lord's voice was heard. Listen carefully. When you think that everything has been dashed and gone, it's not a time to jump out of the way. It's time to draw near. Mothers, when your dream for your kids stillborn, draw near to God. Fathers, when you thought that your job would produce so much and you're demoted, it's time to what? Draw near to God. He is doing something in your life and you need to recognize the ways of God. And often, I don't care how old and how cool you think you are as a Christian, most Christians don't recognize this season. And they rebel and gripe, complain, bail out, blame God, blame the church, and they don't know an appointment with God. It's time to draw near. Now, it's not going to always be fun, but God's going to start working in your life. Fathers, draw near to God. Sons and daughters, draw near to God. Sometimes, young ladies, God will give you a dream of what your marriage could be or what your family could be, what wonderful future. And you think, that's what I want. That's what I want. Nothing wrong with that. Just grab a hold of it. Here's a problem. When you don't see it come to pass, you try to bring it to pass on your own way and you violate the commands of God. And you bring it about in your own way that is against God's law and against God's ways, because we don't recognize this time, this season, where God's working in you to prepare you for what that dream was to be. And so because we violate it, we put ourselves away in a wrong place, in a long place. And God is saying, if you'll recognize what I'm doing, you won't work against me. You'll start to work for me. It's time to draw near to God. Draw near to God. He's going to work on you. Not always fun. Some years ago, I had a scary encounter with a masked man wielding a knife. And I'm real grateful for that, because that masked man was an orthopedic surgeon and his knife was a scalpel. I paid thousands of dollars to this masked man to work on my knee because I had injured it in soccer, and so he cut away on it. And then after it was done, a lot of pain after the anesthesia wore off, And then he made me do stuff in therapy with my leg, like walk on it and bend it in positions I didn't want to bend it in. And he kept making me do this. And I did it. You know why? Because he wanted me to have full use of my leg again. Now, he knew it was going to cause me some pain. But I listened to him and I did it as painful as it was. Why? Because I trusted that this person wanted my good and not my bad.
You have just heard part one of a message entitled Moses, An Appointment with God,
with Dr. Wayne Cordero, president of New Hope Christian College in Eugene, Oregon.
We'll pick it up right there on tomorrow's broadcast. Thank you for listening to Words of New Hope. Until next time, for Pastor Wayne Cordero, this is Del Gibbs wishing you a great day in the Lord and aloha.